The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dr. Bob Lutcher about acupuncture and spirituality. Today's show was pre-recorded in advance. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, did you ever think that there might be some remedies in your kitchen cabinet worth pursuing? Well, in fact, that might just be the case. I'm talking about honey and salt and oatmeal, not necessarily in that order. Honey has been around for thousands of years to treat wounds, for minor cuts and burns. A Dutch study identified a protein in there that's antibacterial. Turns out that you can apply warm honey to just a minor cut, one without a lot of bleeding or a minor burn. Put a gauze bandage on top and then change that dressing daily. But if you've got a burn or a wound that's accompanied by swelling or fever or pain, or if that wound is deep, please check with your doctor instead. You might require oral antibiotics. For salt, salt in water that's boiled and sterilized and cooled can be used in a neti pot for sinus congestion, can be used for a scratchy, sore throat. Check the directions. Make sure that you're very careful if you're boiling that water. It needs to be sterile bottled or distilled, or tap water that's been boiled and cooled, so you don't get any bacteria from the water, in an effort to clean out your sinuses or soothe your sore throat. And finally, that oatmeal serves many purposes. In addition to being a delicious and nutritious breakfast cereal, one that lowers cholesterol, it can also be used topically for sunburns and itchy, inflamed skin, the kind of skin that one gets from poison ivy or from allergies to morning glories like what I have experienced over the years, believe it or not. Regular oatmeal is ground to a fine powder. You take a cup of that powder, pour it into a bathtub of warm water, and then soak for about 15 minutes. It really works. So there you have it. Honey, salt, and oatmeal. Three new kind of medicinal remedies in your kitchen cabinet. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Bob Lutcher is a family medicine physician who practiced family medicine for over 10 years, and then turned to medical acupuncture and works at Madeira Acupuncture on Euclid in Madeira, Ohio. Welcome, Dr. Bob, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, tell us, what is acupuncture and a little bit about the training that's required for medical acupuncture and why you use it.
Okay. Acupuncture is the practice of using solid, very thin needles placed in specific points in the body to elicit a healing response in the body. And in Western terms, the acupuncture creates chemical changes in the body, in the brain, and in the spinal cord, and also normalizes muscular tension patterns and autonomic nervous system activity. The training that I underwent to learn how to do this was out in California at the Helms Institute. I had about 300 credit hours of training, and then many, many hours since then. The standard required in the hospital is about 220.
You know, what's really interesting to me about acupuncture is that it's so versatile. One can use needles with electrodes or without. One can use the ear or the hand or different points along the meridians. One can use acupuncture alone or with traditional Chinese medicine diagnostics. It involves the body, energy, relaxation. It's really one of the most comprehensive, I think, non-traditional practices about. Do you agree?
Correct. And it's uses the body's intelligence to balance its own system. For instance, if you do acupuncture on someone with an elevated blood sugar, the sugar tends to come down. If you treat somebody with a low blood sugar, the blood sugar tends to come up. And if you treat somebody with a normal blood sugar, it remains the same. This is also true of blood pressure. So it uses the body's innate balance, kind of triggers a response that returns the body to that balance.
Wasn't that fascinating? And who would be surprised, because that body was created by a very wise maker, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about that blood pressure. Many people are suffering from high blood pressure due to genetic predisposition or stress, maybe kidney issues, cardiac issues, all of the above. Wouldn't it be incredible if acupuncture would be what I'd call a mainstream tool to help bring that under control? Do you have many patients with high blood pressure, and have you had good results?
I see a lot of patients that have high blood pressure. I don't use acupuncture principally to treat high blood pressure because although it's effective at lowering the pressure, it's not felt to be long-term enough to control the blood pressure without other modalities. But it's a good adjunct to someone that's having trouble controlling their blood pressure.
Okay. All right. So what other types of conditions long-term are benefited by acupuncture treatment?
Mm-hmm. Well, many, many pain conditions are responsive to acupuncture. The things that I see most commonly are low back pain, neck pain, tennis elbow, which is also called lateral epicondylitis, and golfer's elbow. Almost any pain condition can be helped or alleviated by acupuncture. Also, autonomic nervous system problems that I mentioned earlier, things like irritable bowel syndrome and irritable bladder, headaches, insomnia, palpitations. And then also other realms of efficaciousness are endocrine problems like infertility. Acupuncture has been demonstrated to significantly improve fertility in people having trouble with infertility. One of my favorite realms of medicine to work with are the realms of anxiety and depression, because acupuncture is quite helpful in assisting people that are undergoing depressive episodes or anxiety.
Typically, how many sessions are required in some of these conditions? And I'm sure it's very individualized by patient.
Yeah, it varies a lot. But what we estimate for people is that for short-term conditions, relatively new conditions, 3 to 4 treatments is a good trial. Most people are responding by 3 to 4 treatments. For more chronic conditions, we like to give a trial of at least 6 to 8 treatments. And in my practice, I'd say most problems, around 4 treatments, people are already responding.
Are you surprised that acupuncture has taken off with such a passion in the Cincinnati area or around the country?
I'm not surprised, because I was somewhat early in this process here in Cincinnati, a very conservative city. But once you receive training in acupuncture and work with it, you see it's an incredibly valuable treatment, and it speaks for itself. It's been around for thousands of years, and the reason it's been around for that period of time is that it's just works.
And it's a fairly safe modality. I think one of the downsides, perhaps, would be that one could be needle phobic or not want to look at, you know, minor drops of blood. I've had acupuncture many times, and I've never... I can't say that I was comfortable looking at all those needles, so they just put a lovely silver cloth over all of them, and I didn't have to look at anything, and it was just fine. Thank you very much. But it really works, and it's not, it's very, very safe. I mean, what would be your comment on the safety aspect of it?
Well, after practicing medicine for many years, I would say that it's a far safer therapy than Western medicine, although there are still circumstances, certainly, where Western medicine is the best approach to a specific medical problem. But the only side effects I've seen in almost 12 years using acupuncture are the occasional bruise or some soreness at the points. Once in a while, a pain problem will get worse for a day or two before it gets better. Other than that, the side effects are things like people feel more relaxed, they sleep better, they feel more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very safe therapy.
Excellent. I want to turn to a question on spirituality and how that might play together with acupuncture and how this has evolved in you as a professional and in your practice, because I think you're a very interesting family medicine / acupuncturist / healthcare professional in the community and frankly around the country.
Thank you.
And that's not a paid political announcement.
Spirituality has been a huge aspect of my life and of my practice. When I speak of spirituality, I don't necessarily speak in terms of belief systems. Belief systems vary widely between cultures and individuals. For me, spirituality is the ground of being on which somebody experiences their life, and belief systems are often pointers to that ground of being, and that ground of being is the only place of real fulfillment in my experience. So I always work with that when people are suffering in any way.
How do you elicit that conversation? And before you answer, I want to share with our listeners an article that I happened to pull out recently from the American Journal of Bioethics, and this is from 2007. So it's a bit dated, but it's actually talking about spirituality in the clinical setting, which I find absolutely fascinating. And it was written by a physician at Loyola. And it's postulating a question, can spirituality be present in that office setting? And does being professional require being personal? In other words, disclosing that part of you. And the premise is that spirituality or religion, which we've established are in essence two different things, either of which are typically foreign elements in the office practice. And frankly, in the medical setting, I guess, in terms of the education. And its language and its reasoning aren't necessarily familiar and may be in some ways distancing if not presented in the right way. Do your patients come in knowing this about you or seeking you out purposefully for this reason?
Some do and some don't. Some people, most of my practice has been personal referral, and personal referrals often people pretty much know what to expect because they've talked to their friends or their family members about what I do. However, some people just call on the phone and make an appointment and they don't know what to expect. And the truth is that I don't have a specific agenda for them. I see what they're looking for and what they're wanting and try to work with that in any way that's helpful. My background is extremely broad in my training and from many different avenues, and I just try to help bring in what might help.
I would classify you as a healer, and that's a very high compliment.
Thank you.
And I'd love to give you a verse in the Bible that sort of supports what you do, and it's from Luke 8:48. It says, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And that healing has three prongs. It has you as the professional, our Lord, if you will, the individual in that healing place, and any other intercessories, which depending upon your belief system might be angels, might be those who are praying for you on your behalf. Another verse that comes to mind is Proverbs 18:14. A man's spirit can sustain his broken body, but when that spirit dies, what hope is left? I think spirituality is essential in the healing process, and it's oftentimes overlooked, maybe because there's an awkwardness and we're just not simply trained to bring that forward, and I commend you for doing that. I think you do a great job of listening, too, from what I've seen.
Well, thank you.
And that very well represents the respect that you have for your patients, the highest mm-hmm. respect.
Mm-hmm. That has to be the core of assisting somebody with any kind of recovery is to respect the process.
Well, I think it's a good time to take a break. What do you think?
That's fine.
If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Dr. Bob Letcher about acupuncture and spirituality. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Bob Letcher about two fascinating topics, acupuncture and spirituality. Well, I guess basically there's an obvious question just waiting in the wings, and it has to do with patients that come in with different belief systems. You started to allude to that earlier in the broadcast, and I want to know how you honor different faith systems when they are disclosed to you, and how does that, if it does, play out in your patient-physician relationship?
Yes, I try to just recognize what belief system a person has, or what aspects of faith they have that don't necessarily have to do with a belief system. The Buddhists have a wonderful saying that religion is the finger pointing to the moon, and if you get focused on the finger, you'll never see the moon. I believe that's what all religions are doing. They're pointing to a truth that can't be spoken. When Jesus said, my sheep are those who hear my voice, I think he was commenting on something similar, that there's a certain resonance that happens with people that are becoming aware of a spiritual reality that isn't apparent to the senses. And what I try to do is understand how somebody's contacting that reality, how somebody's contacting that ground of being, and look really for any interference with it, any division, which is what we might call egoic identity. Self-concept really is often what interferes with a person's authentic nature.
So if there's blockage in a person's spirit, does that play out in their physical self?
I think the mind's division plays out as the physical self. A tension pattern in the mind or division in the mind will show up as a tension pattern in the body, or a disruption in the balance, what's sometimes called homeostasis in the body. The spirit is free. The spirit is free of the tension patterns. The spirit is that which is aware, in a sense, of the tension patterns, spiritual aspect of a person.
All right, and I'm curious, do you pray with your patients? And I'm still kind of trying to figure out how this all kind of comes about. Many integrative practitioners, for example, will have a question or two on their intake forms. Do you have a faith community? Do you have any spiritual concerns? How do you get that conversation going? Because I'm just fascinated by this practice.
Well, I don't have any forms on intake. I ask people the questions personally because it's not just what they say, but how they respond and how they say it that lets me know what they're experiencing. And so I just ask questions about their life in general and some specific questions about religion and belief systems. But once I begin to see signs of unclarity, if that's a word, I mean, confusion. I just probe those with the person, because if I can understand what's happening, they'll usually understand what's happening. So my goal is to understand the person, and if that happens, usually any confusion clears.
Mm. I might share with you and our listeners that I have chosen to pray with my patients, and I do ask permission, I think out of respect, and it finds a way typically at the end of a session to fit. I do disclose that I am a Christian, and I believe that if it's not comfortable in that setting out in the open, that it's also appropriate to say to your patient, may I pray for you, or may we pray on your behalf at another time. And that's typically met with a very positive response. I think that people are thirsting for healthcare professionals to be more open and honest about their faith beliefs. It's kind of unusual still, I think, this is the Midwest. I guess that's my only point of reference right now. But as a Christian, I'm pleased when I see this promoted, for example, in hospital settings. Faith-based hospitals are allowing this outside of the chaplain, if you will, and that's a very common position in most hospitals. But in an office setting, I still think it's the exception, not the rule. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's unusual. I don't, unless someone requests for me to specifically pray with them, I don't generally do that, because I think Jesus gave us some insight when he said the kingdom of heaven spread upon the earth and men don't see it, that there's a state of perfection unfolding in our lives. And often intercessory prayer, in a sense, is asking with our own idea of what should be for God to do what we want. And I find the highest form of prayer is really an acceptance of what manifests. Mm. So presence itself to me is the highest form of prayer. It's the highest form of love.
I think you have a very unique perspective, and I can understand that. It's it goes along with a notion that, if you will, life, our journey, is a play that's already been written by God, and there are many scripts in that play, and our job is to simply pick up the script that's been given to us and not try to find some other script that we think we'd like better. Kind of goes along with your notion, doesn't it?
Yes, I don't know that it's a predestined script, but I think what happens is a perfection. I think what happens, whether our minds understand it or not, if we could see the totality, much like in our bodies where certain destructive processes are going on, osteoclasts are chewing up bone and osteoblasts are laying down new bone, and if we just focus on one aspect of it, it looks like this is a bad or what we might call evil process, an osteoclast chewing up a bone. But if we see the totality, we see that this flux is necessary, and that with unity consciousness, with the eyes on the totality, it can be understood that there is a perfection.
All right, so let's go back and pull this all together, and let's look at your practice now. Would an individual come to you for a medical reason, seeking a medical physician, and have that discussion and expectation of intervention, and in addition, be exposed to acupuncture and this very broad-based conversation that we've had here today?
Well, in my practice, because of time constraints, what I do is time-consuming. I don't practice Western medicine, per se, in my office anymore. I use the acupuncture and the holistic approach that we're talking about, because This is very time consuming. I spend an hour with every patient, and yes, these doors are opened.
All right. And what do your peers think about you and what you're doing? Your physician peers and other healthcare professionals. Have you gotten any feedback?
Well, many of them are my patients, so I think they're quite pleased. But there's certainly some people that probably don't understand, you know, why I made the change that I made, but. It's amazing the number of department heads I've seen from the university hospitals, and it's quite astonishing. There's a shift, I think, even the Air Force has opened up an acupuncture institute now.
You're kidding?
No, they recognize that you really can't separate mind from body. That post traumatic stress always had physical consequences, which is largely an emotionally based disorder, and that head injuries and other physical injuries always have emotional consequences, and they wanted a tool to work with them integratively, and acupuncture was found to be the tool.
I'm going to take a risk here and ask if you are willing to share with our listeners why you did make that switch, Dr. Letcher.
But for me, I began to see in family medicine that most of my patients were suffering the physical consequences of internal divisions, of stress, of loss, of anxiety and fear, and the drugs that we use to treat those are not really curative. They're symptomatic treatments, and the drugs themselves can be dangerous, although in certainly in some situations they're useful. And so I wanted to work with a tool that got more to the core of what was happening with someone and brought them back into a true state of happiness and peace and balance. And through a series of surprise kind of serendipities, I was led into acupuncture, and it turned out that this was the tool that was useful.
And has this given you personally that balance and peace that you've been able to give to your patients?
Absolutely. The last 12 years of practice have been incredible years, very fulfilling years. There's an intimacy in my practice that's just, I feel like I'm with friends all day long.
Mm. How can our listeners find out more about you or get a hold of you?
Well, my practice is Madeira Acupuncture at 7911 Euclid Avenue. My telephone number is 513-561-5958. If people would like to make an appointment or would like more information about my practice, they're welcome to call that number at any time.
And do you have a take-home message for us tonight that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Oh, I think my take-home message would be that there is no real separation between the mind, the body, and the spirit. These things are all interwoven, interlinked, and all levels have to be addressed in order for a person to be whole.
Do you think more and more professionals are going along with that notion these days than, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? And where do you see non-traditional practice, integrative practice in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, the non-traditional practices are becoming part of the mainstream now. I know that the University of Cincinnati physical medicine residents who are specialists in physical disorders are now giving the option of training in acupuncture, and I've had them in my office. So it's integrating into the mainstream.
That's great. Well, please keep up the good work, and you have our blessings, and we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers as you continue your healing practice. And thank you so much, Dr. Bob Letcher, for being part of our show tonight.
Thank you for having me, Kathy.
Well, it's time to wrap up the show with the quote of the week. Tonight, it's about making choices in life, and it's by Robert Frost. It's from The Road Not Taken, and I'll bet you've heard this before. And I quote, "I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference," end quote. I think that's been very fitting to represent Dr. Letcher in his decision to take a road less traveled. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of health-related articles I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Michael Jauer, author of Your Emotional Type, talk about emotional health on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.